And away we go here on a Wednesday morning, August the 21st, 2019. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the early show, and what a show we have for you today. Today is one of those shows where you will just want to take the dial off the radio or the button or listening device, however you want to stop it. Do so, because this is the station you're going to want to stay with today. It's nice this morning because I do this monologue every morning where I kind of start off with, you know, what happened in my day yesterday. And today we actually have a lead story, and we actually have another story that's kind of going on here in Marion that listeners seem to be commenting on, that maybe we have a little more information about that we can talk about as well. And then we have a guest coming on in the 9 o'clock hour. Also, don't forget today that the Charlie Evers Show will be on 10 a.m. till 12 noon. A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on 12:10 to 1 p.m. And Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman will be on 4:10 to 5 p.m. All right, let's start with the good news this morning. And I'm going to read this because this is a story that broke yesterday. And we were lucky enough to be the first news source to have this. And we put it on the internet kind of late last night. I think it was after 9 o'clock we put it up. So maybe some of you haven't heard about this, and we're going to read it as we have it now. It's a nice way to start out. Good news on this Wednesday morning. Marion City School District Superintendent Ron Arusi announced that the name of the 40th Treasurer of the United States and Marion native Mary Ellen Withrow will be used to identify two new locations for the district during the Board of Education meeting on August 19th. The new locations, now called Mary Ellen Withrow Middle School Academy, located at 565 Oak Street, the old Oak Street Elementary School, and Mary Ellen Withrow High School Academy, located at 1565 Amherst Drive, the old Colonial Acres Elementary School, will be the district's alternative school sites. No school in the Marion City School Districts have ever been named for a woman or a living person. Assistant Superintendent Jennifer Lawson and Superintendent Arusi met with Mary Ellen, and she is honored to have her name associated with the Marion City Schools. We are very excited for this tremendous opportunity to recognize a Marion resident with such an accomplished career in public service, Dr. Arusi said. Additional district information is available at marioncityschools.org. Now, what a great story to kick off the morning with. This is a lot of fun because Mary Ellen Withrow has been a guest on this show I don't know how many times, many, many times, and she's always welcome, and we always ask her to come in, and she always indulges us and comes in, and we have a great time. This is really an historic moment to have a school named for you in the Marion City School District. Is a huge event, because when you think of the schools around here, we have five school districts. We have Elgin, we have Ridgedale, we have River Valley, we have Pleasant. Now, those are not named for people. And those names have been around for a long, long time. Names of schools do not change very often. And then we have the Marion City School District, which used to have names like Fair Park and Mark Street and Silver Street and Oak Street and Colonial Acres. And then when the new buildings were built, back at around 2004-2005, they decided to change all of the names of the Marion City Schools to Presidents. Harding High School, Grant Middle School, there's a Taft, you know, Harrison. There are buildings now named for people in the Marion City Schools. Now, they're all Presidents. And of course, all the presidents have been men, so there are no women there. And when this took place in 2004-2005, of course, all these presidents were dead. Now, Harding, I believe President Harding is the only Marian person who has ever had a school named after them, a public school. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody will tell me, but I believe that's right, in Marion City. And, of course, he was gone when that change took place, when it was changed to Harding High School. So, to have this happen, and to have Mary Ellen still be in the community, be here to see it happen, is just a huge thing. And I could not be happier for Mary Ellen. This is the story, by the way, that I was talking about last week that I knew about, and I wasn't sure if I could share it with the audience because, let me tell you a little background about how all this started. I was contacted about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, that this was something that Marion City Schools wanted to do. And I was contacted by a person who knew that Mary Ellen and I had been friends for quite a while. And they wanted to get in touch with her and weren't really sure how to go about doing that. So they asked me if I could give them her contact information, which I did. And obviously they did get in contact with her. And then Marion City School Superintendent Dr. Arusi was in here last Thursday, I believe it was, and when the interview was over, he told me that this was pretty much a done deal and was going to happen. But they had not announced it yet. So on Friday morning, when I came on the air, I knew about it. I knew that it had been put in place about, you know, three, four weeks ago. I knew about it then, and then I knew that it was pretty much a done deal last week after I had talked to the superintendent, but they had not announced it, and I had not seen anything about it anywhere, so I did not, even though my tendency at that point was to come on and talk with you about it, because you're out, you listening out there, you're my friends, and we get together every morning and talk about whatever's going on. I wanted to announce it, I wanted to bring it up, but I wanted to let Marion City Schools be the first to put it out there, which they were. Marion City Schools announced this on their website yesterday after a board meeting on Monday. But I am just beyond thrilled because I know Mary Ellen, number one, and because I think as time goes on, sometimes we don't realize exactly what some people have done and what some people have meant to this community. And I bring it up a lot when Mary Ellen's in. And what a year for this to happen. And I've talked to Mary Ellen about this on several occasions. This is the 50th anniversary year of Mary Ellen being elected to the Elgin School Board, which, by the way, she was the first woman ever elected to that board, back in 1969, so the 50th anniversary of her getting into politics, and the 25th anniversary of her being chosen to be the 40th treasurer of the United States under President Bill Clinton, which happened in 1994. So of all years for these schools to be renamed in Mary Ellen's honor, I mean, hey, it couldn't have worked out more perfect if you had written it, because this will happen before the end of the year. The certification, I believe, happens at the next school board meeting. So this will be a pretty quick change. And Mary Ellen, I can say all this because I know Mary Ellen well and have studied her career. She is a pioneer in every way. I don't think we remember 1969 and how women were looked at in 1969. They didn't get into politics. They didn't get on school boards. They didn't do that sort of thing. And to have Mary Ellen do that and break down that barrier, as it were, was a tremendous thing. And then not only to have her break that barrier in 69, but for her to go on to other public office, sending her to the Marion County Treasurer's Office in 1976, and then the Treasurer of the State of Ohio in the early 1980s, and then Treasurer of the United States in the early 1990s. I mean, what a run. And what a short period of time for that to have happened, 25 years. And you have to be very smart. You have to have tremendous intestinal fortitude. Elections are not easy. And you have to have something very special about you to be able to weather all the storms and things of that nature that go on in a political career. It's interesting because when I had talked to Superintendent Rossi last week, I had pulled out some articles that I had on Mary Ellen from back when she was Treasurer of the United States, and somebody was interviewing her for a newspaper, and she had talked about always feeling like the underdog in any race she ever ran because she was from Marion County, and that was not one of the big counties like Franklin County, and yet she was able to win, and she was able to pull it off. I think she only lost one election in her entire career. And I think one of the reasons that Mary Ellen was able to do that was because she really does care, and she really is a very genuine person when it comes to her time, the effort that she puts in. You can see it with her family. You know, I've been lucky enough to see her with her daughters and her husband. I've been lucky enough to be in Mary Ellen's home, and she makes you feel very comfortable. She's a person with no pretense to her. There's no air, there's no show with Mary Ellen. You get the real thing, and I think that's one of the nicest things you can say about somebody who's had a career like Mary Ellen Withrow. And to have these schools renamed for her this coming fall is just amazing. I mean, to read it, the Mary Ellen Withrow Middle School Academy and the Mary Ellen Withrow High School Academy, this fall you will drive by these buildings on Oak Street and on Amherst, and you will see her name there. And that's how it should be. And that's how it will always be. I mean, how often do we change the names of schools? Not very often. So long after Mary Ellen's gone, long after I'm gone, long after you're gone, that name will be on those buildings, and there will be kids. This is the coolest thing of all. There will be kids who will say, "Where did you go to school? Where are you going to school?" "Well, I'm going to Mary Ellen Withrow." I mean, that is just unbelievable that is happening. And the two points that are being made in this should be made very, very prominently. The only living person in Marion City school history to have a school named after him, she'll be the only person who was able to attend the renaming ceremony of a school in her own name. That's never happened. And also, the first woman. Can you believe all these years, no school in the Marion City School District has ever been named for a woman? Now, interestingly enough, and somebody would have to point it out to me if I'm wrong, I don't think any of the school districts in Marion County have ever been named for a woman. I was trying to think of that. Elgin, Pleasant, River Valley, Ridgedale, I don't think any of those have ever been named for a woman. So this is really historic, not just for Marion City Schools, but for Marion County. So, a very, very big event, very cool event, and nobody deserves it more than Mary Ellen. So, we'll bring you up to date when the school board finally certifies this and when the opening ceremonies happen, or the renaming ceremonies, I guess what you would say, happen, which I'm sure will happen. A tremendous, tremendous event. Now, does anybody have any questions or comments about this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call. I would love to hear from you, because it is really something to behold. And it is still difficult. Well, I don't know. We talk about it a lot on this show, and I hate to harp on this fact, but, you know, we've never had a female mayor here in Marion. We've never had a female governor in Ohio. So there are, we've never had a female president of the United States in our history. So you have to think that this event really is one of those moments where a glass ceiling or a barrier, as we said earlier on, has been broken to have this happen. So what do you make of this? What do you make of this entire story? Give me a call. But this was the story I was talking about last week that I really couldn't say anything about, but so glad that I can talk about it now. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Again, Marion City Schools will be renaming two schools, the Mary Ellen Withrow Middle School Academy, 565 Oak Street, the old Oak Street Elementary School, and the Mary Ellen Withrow High School Academy, located at 565 Amherst Drive, the old Colonial Acres Elementary School. These will be the district's alternative schools. So, how great is that? And again, if you want to comment, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Couldn't have happened to a nicer person. Couldn't be more happy. So, congratulations, Mary Ellen. And nobody deserves it more. Now we turn to another story that, I don't know, it isn't, let's say, as cheerful as that particular story that we just talked about. Now, we have a mayoral race this year coming up. And right now, as we have it, as we thought we had it, it will be the incumbent Democratic mayor, Scott Schertzer, running against Republican Kevin Norris, city council member. And we had thought independent Sue McGowan, who had taken her petition to the Board of Elections and had it certified back in May. Now, there might be a little confusion. Now, here's what I know. And again, you know, this is just what I'm hearing, just what I'm reading. But apparently what has happened is that, and if I'm wrong, somebody let me know. But apparently Sue McGowan got her petition signed, took it to the Board of Elections, got it certified, and everything was fine. But I guess in her district, she voted in a Democratic primary. So to run as an independent, I guess that's not okay. Now, time went on, and there is a deadline to petition people who are on the ballot. If you have a problem with them, you can say that, but you have up until a certain date to do that. And I guess that date was in late July, I believe July 25th. Now, after July 25th, in early August, a Democrat came up with this, you know, it's true, I guess, that Sue had voted for a Democrat in the Democratic primary. Therefore, she should not be on the ballot as an independent. And they made this complaint after the date you're allowed to make complaints. But the Board of Elections still took the complaint and wanted to remove Sue McGowan from the November ballot. Now, the Democrats, the two Democrats on the Board of Elections, have voted to remove her. the two Republicans on the Board of Elections have decided to keep her. So we're deadlocked at the Board of Elections. And now, I guess this will go to the Ohio Election Board, Secretary of State. It will go to a higher authority because we're deadlocked here in Marion County. And I saw on a Facebook post this morning that Sue is looking for some type of legal representation to get out of this problem. Keep her name on the ballot, per se. That's how I have it. Now, is that how you have it out there, people listening? Is that the story? Is that pretty much what is happening? And if so, what do you make of it? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's an interesting thing because we certainly have had our interesting moments with the Board of Elections in the last year or so. So to have this story come up, you know, here we are again talking about something that the Board of Elections has done and where we will go from here. Now, I don't know. You know, I was reading the articles, one of the articles that was published in the Star this morning, and trying to figure out exactly what this is. And I might read this just as I have it here. But again, feel free to interrupt me if you've read the article in the Star or have anything to say about this. 740-383-9944. Here's what the story was. The candidacy of independent mayoral candidate Sue McGowan has been called into question by a vote of the Marion County Board of Elections. The board voted 2-2 along party lines Monday on ousting McGowan from the November ballot after Marion resident Mike Thomas filed a protest against McGowan's candidacy, though it appears his protest was filed late. The board is expected to submit the matter along with petition statements arguing both sides within 2 weeks to the Ohio Secretary of State for a final tie-breaking vote. In his protest, Thomas argued that McGowan isn't allowed to run as an independent because she voted a Democratic ballot in the May primary election, thereby declaring her political affiliation with the Democratic Party according to her voter records. Thomas pointed to Ohio law that defines an independent candidate as any candidate who claims not to be affiliated with a political party. McGowan, who was at Monday's meeting, told the board she had only cast a Democratic ballot in the vote for a candidate in her ward she thought would make a good elected official, and said she wasn't aware she would become affiliated with the Democratic Party in doing so. In my voting history in the primary, sometimes I do vote, sometimes I think about Republican candidates. It doesn't matter, she said. I voted independent for the last 3 or 4 times, and I believe in voting for a right person for the job. McGowan's voting history shows she voted in the 2015, 16, and 18 general elections and did not declare an affiliation with any party in those years, according to records kept by the Ohio Secretary of State. The record shows she cast a Democratic ballot in the 2014 primary election as well. But it is unclear whether, even if Thomas's argument held, anything could be done this close to the November 5th election. The deadline to protest against independent candidates was July 30th, according to the Ohio Secretary of State. Thomas' protest was dated August 15th. Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan was at Monday's meeting and cautioned the board against moving on the protest that day. He advised they hold a hearing where witnesses could give sworn testimony and they could weigh the merits of the protest on whether it was submitted at that time. Both Larry Heiser and Lynn Zucker, the Republican members on the Board of Elections, said if they had known McGowan had cast a Democratic ballot in the May primary, they would not have voted in June to certify her position to run, her petition to run as an independent. At the same time, Heiser said he doesn't believe Thomas's protest was filed on time. Both he and Zucker voted against removing McGowan from the ballot. So, there you have it. I don't know. What do you make of this? 740-383-9944. Do you think is the sentiment that Sue should be on the ballot for the November 5th election? And at this point, is there really anything that could be done to stop her from being on that ballot? I don't know what the Secretary of State will do there. And is it interesting to you that, again, this was a party line vote? It seems like all of a sudden everything at the Board of Elections is along party lines. Now, I'm not saying this has anything to do with party. I don't know that. I don't have any information to suggest that. But it's interesting that the Democrats would like her removed and the Republicans would like her to stay at this point. And the prosecutor is giving reason as to why he thought there should be a hearing before this vote took place, but the vote took place anyway. All right. So, on that, that's our second story. Does anybody have anything to say about that this morning? Should Sue McGowan stay on the ballot for the November 5th? Our November election, is it the 5th? I think I said it there. But, you know, the first Tuesday in November. That's the point. Should she stay on the ballot? I don't know. It's an interesting story because things like this are starting to pop up. There's a lot of stuff going on in the political world on the local level that did not used to happen. Now, I'm not giving my opinion one way or another on if Sue should be taken off the ballot. But I'm just saying local politics in the last couple years has become a lot more political. And by what I mean about what I'm saying is it's become a lot more about Republican and Democratic things than maybe it used to be. I always used to feel that local politics, the Republican and the Democratic affiliation really did not mean a whole lot. You would run as that when you ran for the office, but most of the time, Democrats and Republicans used to get together on a lot of things, and maybe they still do, but there are just a lot of votes that seem to come along party lines, and there are also a lot of times when members of one party will call out members of the other party. I can't remember the last time when I heard somebody calling out a member of their own party. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that. But what do you make of the scene of local politics with this story? 740-383-9944. And I kind of wonder how this all came about. Because obviously there was a deadline to protest. And the deadline had passed. So I wonder how this came to light, that Sue had voted in this Democratic primary, which essentially gave her a party affiliation, which does not allow her to run as an independent. So I guess you have a rule on the table, which technically I guess Sue should not be on the ballot as an independent, but the Board of Elections certified the petition anyway, and the deadline passed when you could protest. I don't know. It's a sticky wicket, as they used to call. There's an old phrase. It's a sticky wicket situation. Is there anybody who has an opinion on this or the Mary Ellen Withrow story of the two schools, former Oak Street Elementary and Colonial Acres Elementary, being renamed for the 40th Treasurer of the United States? Those are the two stories on the table here in our number one. And we're certainly going through our number one pretty good, 44 minutes past the hour. Do any of these stories have interest to you this morning? And what do you think? We want to hear your opinion, because your opinion means more than my opinion. You are the voters of Marion City. You are the people who have grandkids and children and nieces and nephews who attend Marion City schools. So what do you think of this whole morning, kind of a busy news morning? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call. Would love to talk about it with 15 minutes left before we break for the top of the hour. What an interesting morning it is. A really good story, and then kind of a really confusing story, by all accounts. But that's the way it goes. 740-383-9944 if you have anything to say. I believe the phones are working. Yep, phones are working. So if you have anything to say, give us a call. 740-383-9944. Now, we can get back to our trivia here for a few minutes. Oh, we're getting a call here. Good. Maybe this has something to do with what we're talking about. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for a lively first hour.
I hope that was a good monologue.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate Mary Ellen for such a nice, have such a nice thing happen for her tour. And I just think that's so cool.
Well, you know, it's really an amazing thing, because I've been wanting to tell people about this
for the last, hard, wasn't it?
Oh boy, I had to keep it in. And the thing about it is as I was saying in the little monologue this morning, I believe it is true that no living person has ever had this happen in their lifetime, and hard to believe here in 2019, no woman has ever had a school named after
her. Well, it's very nice.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Now, do you really want my opinion?
I do, because, you know, I just became aware of this story last night and got a little more informed this morning about it.
Well, it was all over the front page, but oh my.
Yeah. What do you make of it?
Well, another one of those cases, it appears to me, that things passed along very quickly, and if there was indeed a ruling like that, how that got by everyone. And there was something in there, in the actual story, that had said something to the point, or that, how was it, they didn't, whenever they made their decisions, it was very close to some kind of mandate that was handed down by the state. Did you?
Yeah, apparently there are some dates involved here, because there is a date that independent candidates had to have their petition turned in,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a date that the Board of Elections had to certify the candidate, and then apparently there also was a date that you had up until that date to protest the candidate,
mm-hmm.
and all of these dates, I assume, met the date to turn in the petition. The board met the date to certify the petition, which they did,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a date where you could protest, but that date passed, and the protest came after that date, but the Board of Elections has still accepted it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my opinion, she should be left on the ballot. I mean, if there was a lot of things that happened and were allowed to happen like that, it wouldn't be fair to her. From, you know, everything I've read about it, that she should. But my observation is, and this is just me, do you ever notice when there is any ado up at the Board of Elections, it all stems back to a former council person?
Well, and that person was named in the article,
mm-hmm.
Mike Thomas, mm-hmm. who has been on this program. And it's interesting, though, because this is a strange story, because I'm not sure why this story, I'm not sure why this vote was along party lines. I guess I'm not getting that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it did come down party lines, it came down that the Republicans wanted her to stay on the ballot,
mm-hmm.
and the Democrats did not. And the former council member who you're referring to, Mr. Thomas, is the one who brought the petition. But I'm not sure why the fate of an independent candidate lies with the two political parties who both have a candidate running for mayor.
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
Do you have a theory on that?
Well, I'm not going to share my theory, okay? I'm sorry, but I'm going to pull a Brandy today. I'm going to pull a Brandy because I have my own theory, but there you go.
Well, so this whole thing, you feel Sue should stay on the ballot, but what do you think will happen? Because now it's going to the Secretary of State, and, you know, the post I saw from Sue this morning was that lawyers could get involved here. And does this help her? Because I wonder, with that plastered on the front page of the paper and us talking about it here, and now us waiting a decision from a court case, does that give Sue some momentum? You know, that's free publicity.
That's true. I really hadn't thought of it in that way, but yeah, that is true. Yeah.
I mean, it's for people who did not know she was running as an independent, it certainly lets people know.
Well, you're right on there.
So I don't know if this was... I don't know. It's hard to tell because it does sound like the rule was broken. That if you vote in a Democratic primary, you cannot run as an independent. Apparently, there is a rule. So the rule was broken by Sue, but it also seems like they didn't catch it.
Exactly.
In time.
Exactly. And if we're going to have a top-notch Board of Elections, and I don't care who you are, Republican or Democrat, I don't care who you are. If you're going to have a top-notch board, they have to be mindful of every... everything coming down from the state, every rule, it is just, and that's what makes it difficult sometimes to get people working at the board, because they have to be sharp as a tack.
Well, they do, and there was just a realignment, and that's why I didn't want to relate this case too much to all the hubbub that happened with the Board of Elections last year, because it's my understanding pretty much all of those people on the board and who worked in the office at this point are gone.
Well, that's why I mentioned the third party, when you know who I'm talking about. That's why I mentioned it. If there's any hubbub to do ado or anything, it comes from this third party who had pretty much left or whatever happened after all the other changes were made. And I'm that's just it.
Well, I wonder what the reason was. I wonder why it took so long to find, because I would think that if you're on the Board of Elections and you're doing the certification, that if that is a rule, that you cannot vote in a Democratic primary or a Republican primary for that matter, that would be one of the things you would check.
Well, you'd think.
But maybe not.
No. And why was the person who objected, why was that late in coming in? Other than the fact that there was a lot of last-minute scrambling to find out if there was anything that could be brought forth. I'm just saying.
Well, it becomes a problem because the Secretary of State now is going to rule how they're going to rule. It's out of the Marion Board of Elections' hands at this point. Now, the problem is that if they rule to keep her on the ballot, let's say she wins or... the Republican wins, I would guess that there is going to be a protest or some kind of lawsuit filed then, maybe not, that this person should not have been on the ballot, that they did not meet what a candidate should meet. But on the other hand, if they decide to pull her off the ballot, we're close to the election. I mean, this is August 21st. If they pull her off... it sounds to me like she's going to get some legal representation. So is this election going to be tied up, the mayoral?
Well, yeah.
Tied up in legal wranglings right through November. I don't know. I just think for it to come in late August with a little over 60 days left to the election. These have been the weirdest elections, though, I've ever seen in Marion County for a long time. I see more... candidates with interesting backgrounds. I see more things like this going on. I don't know. I used to think that, as I said earlier on, that the Republican and Democratic DNR did not matter in local politics. Mm-hmm. I don't know anymore.
Well, the grassroots are kicking up their heels.
And I don't know what's caused this. I don't know why everybody wants to run for office.
Well, I don't know.
That would be the last thing I would want to do.
Well, believe you me, Scott, I have been asked before, and I would say I don't want to run. I'd run from office.
Well, exactly. But I am just amazed at the number of people who are running. I mean, it's not like these city council people make a lot of dough, and it's, you know, you have constant meetings, and you are in the public eye, and if you do anything wrong, they're going to rake you over the coals.
Sounds like fun, right?
So, yeah. Why would anybody want to do this? And you have all these people all of a sudden, and this is the other thing that blows my mind, and I'm not condemning this. I just don't know where it started, that all of a sudden, you have all these people running who have no experience doing anything.
Well, we all have to start somewhere, though, you know, in that respect, but because you don't want to, you know, there's been people that have stepped up and done their thing that have made very excellent candidates and officials before it was all said and done, but...
Well, this kind of ties in with Mary Ellen Withrow, though, to me. You know, she started on the school board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a woman who ended up working in Washington, D.C., under President Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she didn't even start at city council or Marion County Treasurer, or, you know, and I think people would consider those to be, you know, not big, huge positions, but she started and cut her teeth doing things like school board,
mm-hmm.
and working in the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. You know, people don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They just skip over all that and go right to city council, or go right to mayor, or go right to auditor. I mean, what do they really, and I'm Republican and Democrat I'm talking here, what do they really know about these jobs,
mm-hmm.
having never been involved in government?
Well, some of the younger ones, that's what they study, and that's how they get into it. But, you know, when you start looking for candidates, you look for in every direction. You don't just necessarily go to those people that have studied political science. You don't, you know, you're looking for somebody that wants to make a difference. You notice I didn't say change. I said make a difference.
Well, let me ask you this, because I ponder this question as we head into the November election. Now, if you have a background, a past, that is maybe a little...
Why are you asking me? Hello.
Well, because it used to be, I remember the days when if you had a past where maybe you had done something maybe not... Okay, I'm trying to think of a way to word this nicely.
We all know. We know where you're going.
You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Okay, if you had a past that you did something that was not all that great,
yeah.
that you would not dream of running for office because the people wouldn't vote for you because they thought that showed bad judgment.
Well, not only that, but it would be certainly brought forth in the...
And it would be brought...
Yeah.
But people have no... it doesn't matter anymore. I'm telling you, you could murder somebody, and if you could get out of prison, you first thing you do is file a petition and run for office.
And I don't understand sometimes about that, because I think I made mention of this before, but one of the first things they ask you if you want to run for an office is, what do you have in your past?
Right, but apparently it doesn't matter. You know, I have a theory on this, and my theory is very simple, and it goes for Republican, Democrat, and Independent. I believe that we have seen a shift in the last few years from Hollywood to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So now people don't want to be movie stars. They want to be politicians because they're in the... It's an ego thing.
Well, yeah. I think if you're a planner, I like your being somebody else, you know, is which people in Hollywood do. They pretend like they're somebody else. So all of a sudden they find more importance in representing... you know, their area of that they live and all that, and it seems to be held higher, seems to be, you know, although obviously it can go the other direction. But Ronald Reagan might have made a huge impression when it came to that sort of thing, too, that
you can do both.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I want to say this also as well. I'm not saying that's the case with everybody. There are really genuine people who want to get involved to change the community. And it's also a tremendous amount of work, the yard signs, door-to-door, and all the things you have to do. So I'm not saying everybody is like this. But I can go down the list, and I can tell you who's running because they want to make a difference. And I can tell you who's running because maybe they want to be... Well, they used to call it a big wheel. They want to be a big wheel in Marion. And to me, I just don't know.
Then that's how you calculate your the buttons you push or the whatever when it comes to voting.
And that's on both sides, Republican and Democrat. Yeah. So that's the way it goes. Like I said, Mary Ellen Withrow, I don't think ever thought about being a big wheel. I think she thought about doing good. And look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Within 25 years, she was working for the president, and now here, 50 years later, the schools are going to be named for her, which will be there for long after all of these big wheels have been forgotten. Mary Ellen Withrow's name will still be on that school, I'm happy about that. Well, I thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, that's just my opinion. That's editorializing today. We're going to take a break, come back with much more here on The Early Show. Don't you dare go away.
I would wish it on anybody that I love. This was a fabulous thing that happened to me. 29 years, and imagine what happened during those times. And we talked about it, and this show had my name on it. It was wonderful. You got to meet everybody, and, you know, I'll just never forget it. I'm glad it happened. I feel blessed.
You ever think of an epitaph?
Yeah, I have. A couple of them. One would be, here lies Billy Dunnison. The other one I think might be good is the caller there.
To the First Lady of Stand-Up Comedy, Phyllis Diller.
It was kind of interesting because Phyllis Diller kind of always played on this, hey, I'm ugly image.
Well, baby, let me put it like this. I used to get so much revenue for playing witches. That's witches. As in Halloween. And darling, after I had that first beautiful facelift, I never again was offered a witch role.
Is that right?
Now that tells you a lot.
It definitely does.
And my social life improved.
The talk show pioneer, Sally Jesse Raphael.
All they wanted was shock value. And so they put in producers to do that kind of show. And I kept saying, no, I won't, no, I won't, no, I won't, no, I won't. And I made a conscious decision to do what I didn't want to do because I needed the money. And I had various family members who were ill, and the bills were pretty high, and I had to support these people. So I did what I didn't, and eventually they put me out of my misery by firing me. And